As we enter the next bull cycle, how do you know what's legit and what's a scam? Right now, we're seeing airdrops every week, which present incredible opportunities to make easy money, but we're also seeing constant attacks. This week, Magic Eden has announced they're launching a token. Trezor's email got hacked. We're questioning, is staking on Coinbase safe? Well, I'll tell you what, every Friday, we give you everything you need to know in 1 hour. That's it. If this was the only hour you spent on crypto, you'd be up to date. GMGM, welcome to Web3 Academy, your one trusted source to capitalize on the next big phase of the internet. We are here to make sense of an on-chain world in constant transformation. I'm Jay Bird, along with my co-host Kyle Reedhead, and we believe that tokenization is going to change the world.
You know, if we didn't do this roll-up every single week, Jay, there's no way I would be able to keep up with what's happening in this space. There's a lot going on right now. So many things launching. Tokens, yes, there's plenty of airdrops, as you mentioned, but there's just a lot of new technologies that are also launching. Solana extensions is one of the big ones that came out yesterday. So we're going to cover that because this is some really, really big news coming in the Solana space and just in the blockchain world in general. And so I'm excited to kind of share what's possible with that. And then so much more that we're going to cover today. So let's not waste any time. Let's get into it. We've got a market watch where we're going to talk about what's going on with Bitcoin, ETH, Solana, and some of the ETF action stuff as well. But before we do, as usual, let's just take a quick second and talk about some gratitude. Jay, what are you grateful for today?
Yeah, I'm grateful for the medical system in Canada. I hurt my back about 3 weeks ago, like old man injury hurt my back. And I've been able to get a lot of medical support and treatment on it. And actually, you know, I should say, I'm grateful for Sam's benefits because I am a dependent on Sam's benefits, which has allowed me to get some physiotherapy, but I'm also getting some form of imaging done to look at my back. And that's all stuff that's paid for under our healthcare here in Canada. So very grateful to be in a country that supports and cares so much about the health of their citizens.
Very nice. Very nice. My gratitude, a little bit different than yours, but about health, I guess, nonetheless. So I'm going to a gym here in Buenos Aires called Megatlon. It's a very weird name. So what's it? Maybe Megatlon, like mega and then T-L-O-N. Maybe it's a Spanish word. I'm not quite sure. I think I Googled it once, but it didn't really have an English translation. So I don't know what it is. But anyway, there's a bunch of them around Buenos Aires and they're really, really big, like nice gyms. Like they got a bunch of different cool equipment, whatever. But we went to one on the weekend. It has an indoor gym, but it also has this like massive outdoor spot where it's got a bunch of pools and then like lounge chairs on grass and then like a full workout section where they have like bars and squat racks and whatever. And then this thing overlooks a practice stadium for one of the soccer teams, that football teams that are here in Buenos Aires. So we went there and you just like, you can tan, you can take your shirt off, your shoes off and just like do squats and do your whole workout outside in the middle of the day. Like you just get some sun. It is the best thing ever. And so we did that on the weekend. I did it yesterday. I actually went, I did my workout outside. There's a cafe also attached to this gym. So I worked there, then went back out to that. I'm like obsessed with it. One of the goals in my life is to have a squat rack in my backyard and so that I can work out outside. And now I get to do it here. So I'm so grateful for it. It's awesome.
So it sounds more like a beach club getting a tan. I don't know how many squats you're doing here, bro. I want to improve.
Oh, no, I got a whoop. It tells me my heart rate when I work out, and I had a great workout outside.
Share those stats with me. Let me see those stats. I want the proof.
Another day. That actually should be my gratitude, my whoop.
All right, let's jump into Market Watch. Kai, what's going on in the markets this week?
Yeah, first, for those listening, make sure to subscribe to our channel if you are not already. And if you're listening on YouTube, make sure to comment, to like, to do all the things, share it. This is what helps us grow. We love when you guys do that. So please continue that. One question for all of you guys. Sometimes we talk about a little bit of tech, a little bit too techy things, and we're wondering if you guys actually like that. So for example, we're going to talk about some different layer two stuff today. We're going to talk about token extensions. You'll see in this episode, it gets a little bit technical, but we keep it quite simple. Do you guys want to hear this stuff, or would you rather just hear more about like investment and like big things happening in the space and not really go too far into the weeds? Please let us know. Do you want to hear about the technical stuff and start to understand some of the blockchain technology, or would you rather us kind of pass over that? So please let us know. If you're on YouTube, just comment. And if you're listening on Spotify, hit the polls there. And that would be super helpful. All right, so let's take a look at markets. We'll start with a quick rundown of Bitcoin, ETH, and Sol and their price. Then we're going to cover some Sol ETH. And just look at the chart there. And then we'll talk about some ETF flows, as well as some historical stuff that happens at the beginning of bull markets like we're in right now. So first of all, Bitcoin is below 40K at 39,660. We've kind of been bouncing around from sort of 38K lowest up to sort of 42,000 and just been kind of bouncing around for a bit, continuing to be in this dip as we've been covering for the last, you know, week, 2 weeks now, I guess almost 3 weeks since our local high. So since the ETF was approved. But that's it there. Ethereum down to 2180. So the big number on Ethereum is 2140, which we talked about weeks ago, where if it passes 2140, then we would be in a bit of a bull market here and it's got room to run to 3K. That did happen. It did jump like crazy. And then the ETF got approved. We continued to move. And then now we've been in this big pullback, which is fine. It's quite natural. And potentially we come back to 2140. If we go below that, I'd be a little bit scared, but we'll see. As long as it's not sustained and it's just something quick, that's fine. It's not a big deal. But we'll see if we hit 2140. I mean, amazing buying opportunity for anyone that's buying the dip. And then the last one here is Solana, which is, I mean, has been underperforming for the last month, like since basically this entire year of 2024. It's currently at $86. Another amazing buying opportunity, in my opinion, if you're getting ready for this year, $86 Solana, which is crazy to think. I mean, like 4 months ago, this thing was at $20 or whatever, maybe it was 5 months ago. And now we're at 86 and like, oh, this is a good opportunity. Solana's actually down 30% since its local high back in December. Crazy to think that, but that's what it's down right now. So the interesting thing that I covered in the Market Watch with Hal on Wednesday was the Sol ETH chart, which is what I want to just look at real quick here, which is Ethereum has been dominating Solana this year. I showed this chart here on Wednesday where there's sort of like a support line for the Sol ETH chart. And we hit it 2 weeks ago and then we hit it again just the other day and we've bounced off it pretty strong. So Solana's actually seen a bit of a bounce on Ethereum. I actually moved a bit of my ETH into Solana. Not a lot. When I say that, I moved like a smaller percent of it into Solana right around that purple line there that you can see. And so far it's done really well. We'll see if we continue to go lower on this dip, then I think Ethereum probably performs a little bit longer and maybe it goes into that purple range that I have there. But either way, it's a great buying opportunity to move some Bitcoin, move some ETH into Solana right now. Solana has been kind of beaten up over the last few weeks. I don't think that lasts very long. Whenever we move back into sort of bull market vibes, Solana is probably going to take off. So good opportunity there. Okay, let's look into these ETFs. This is the thing that's driving the market the most right now, which is basically the outflows of GBTC, so Grayscale, and then the inflows of the 9 other Bitcoin ETFs. So if it wasn't for GBTC, we would actually be really good. We've got a lot of inflows coming into the 9 other ETFs, and that would actually drive a lot of demand. The problem is there's a lot of people that have been stuck in the Grayscale Bitcoin trade, whether that was because they just held it for a long time, like FTX, which has to liquidate. So they liquidated almost $1 billion worth of this stuff. And then there's just a lot of people that bought GBTC when it was at a discount to NAV. So you could buy it when people were selling it like a couple of years ago, and then you basically held on to it until the discount came back to normal. And then at the same time, Bitcoin also went up a bunch during that time. And so now that it's finally unlocked and switched over, a bunch of people are able to sell that trade and take profits. And then also there's a high fee on GBTC. So people are also just selling it and moving into some of the other Bitcoin ETFs. So there's quite a bit of outflows coming from GBTC right now. And unfortunately, that is a big driver of why markets are kind of getting tanked. It's tough for these 9 other ETFs to like keep up with the inflows. So just yesterday, we had, let's see if I have it in here. Yeah, overall, when you look at inflows and outflows, negative $158 million. Mainly all that came from GBTC, which is about $460 million of outflows. The good news is that we sort of reached the peak about 2 days ago. The highest we were hitting was like 600 million outflows from GBTC per day. And that's going down and down each day. So hopefully in the next week or so, this sort of stops, because it's not just GBTC people taking like profits on that. It's also people moving out of other things outside of just GBTC, which is like, you could have like ETF funds that weren't actual ETFs. They were like ET, I don't know, P's or whatever the heck they're called. But you could get those. You can get in the Canadian ETFs. It's like, I have those. You can now sell those and buy the actual US ETFs if people want to, because the fees are much cheaper. So a lot of people are doing all that right now. So there's just a lot of mix of selling and buying. And so it's a bit of confusion in the market. And so until that's done, we probably won't go up. Even though I don't have the charts handy right now, but like the NASDAQ, the S&P are at all-time highs and just absolutely crushing it. Microsoft is now a $3 trillion company.
Jesus.
It's nuts what's going on in the equities market, which This also happened in 2022. Equities markets went like crazy. Crypto didn't. And everyone's like, what's going on here? And then all of a sudden crypto just like within like 3 weeks, just absolutely ripped. Probably we see the same thing. Crypto's lagging right now. And you know how crypto works. Whenever it catches a bid, it just like the equities they run over a few months. Crypto's like 2 weeks, we're just going to like triple. It's insane. So probably we're looking at the same sort of idea happening here. One interesting thing on the ETFs that happened, and this is the first ever in any ETF as far as we know. Actually, I think it's definitely because it's just, I don't even think this is possible without crypto. So an interesting thing is Bitwise ETF announced their wallet that they hold the crypto, that they hold their Bitcoin in 2 days ago. And they said, hey, we just want to be transparent. Here's our wallet address. You can look at our flows, which is pretty cool. They're the first ones to do that. And what was interesting is after they did that, someone sent them, sent that wallet address, 6,969 sats. It's not much. It's, I don't even know what that, like if that's even a dollar of Bitcoin, but a piece of a Bitcoin they sent to that ETF. This was not through buying it though, through the actual ETF exchange. It's so literally the Bitwise ETF is now over collateralized, which is probably the first ETF to ever have that, which is so funny. I don't know if anyone else has done that since, but it's pretty cool. The other cool thing is Bitwise is donating, I think 10% of their profits or whatever to the Bitcoin like foundation or to the Core Devs or something. I'm not sure what the name was. So Bitwise doing some cool stuff and just really cool to see people sending it money. And now it's an over collateralized ETF. So fun things going on in the ETF world. The other big thing that we put out in a newsletter yesterday was as much as there's the confusion around the ETF, this is also just quite normal for the crypto cycle. So we've actually seen this happen two times previous, 2016 and 2019. So what we call this, the world we're in right now is called crypto spring, which is where we tend to see things go well, but there's kind of a lot of ups and downs. It's kind of, think of spring weather where it's like, okay, it's getting warmer. There's some sun finally. In the winter, it's just dark and sucks. That was, you know, last year or early last year and the year before. And then spring is like, okay, it's warmer. There's some sunny days, but we still have some rain. Sometimes it gets cold, but for the most part, like we're trending upwards. That was last year and early this year. At the end of crypto spring is generally a big sell-off. And then we move into crypto summer. Crypto summer is where it's warm every day. It's up only. And like things are just popping off. Now we're not there yet. But before that happens, there's always a pullback. And the pullback is typically 30%. And then we start to build back up. And then we actually sometimes and usually get a bigger sell-off. Now in 2016, we went down 30%. We came back up, then we went down 38%, and then it was like crypto summer. We just went nuts for 2 years. But again, that 30% pullback is still like way above what it was in the bottom of the bear market, which is right now. Solana's back 30%, but it's at $80 when it was at $20 like 5 months ago. Bitcoin is not, I think it's about down about 20% or so right now. And so potentially we could go back if we look at historicals, and this doesn't mean it's going to happen, but there's definitely room and precedent for it to come back 30%, if not even more. I mean, in 2019, we came back 30%, then we went up, and then we sold off 68%. But that was because, or sorry, 58%. But that's because of the COVID dump. So like, I don't think we see that. Some people are calling for that. Like, that just doesn't make any sense. But a 30% is fairly normal for this stage of the bull market. People taking profits, and then it's like, okay, now we're setting up for the big run. So maybe we're done here. I'm not sure. But I wouldn't be surprised if we went back to like 32,000 on Bitcoin. If that happened, ETH would probably go below 2K or around 2K and Solana would probably get wrecked. So like, be careful out there. This is why you don't want to be long and you don't want to be short because you just don't know what's going to happen. No leverage. But either way, all of this, just an amazing buying opportunity for what's to come. If you want to understand that further, check out my Wednesday episode, Market Watch with Hal, where we talked about the Golden Cross. This happened in 2019. And for the next 3 years, it was ups and downs, of course, but multiples, multiples, multiples higher after this Golden Cross happens. We just had that, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago with Bitcoin. So like, still there's going to be ups and downs. It's not a short-term signal, but it's a long-term signal that the bull market is here and we've got a lot of room to go. So these are all just great buying opportunities. If you have any extra cash, I would be buying Bitcoin, ETH, SOL. Doesn't matter what you do, you're going to do well.
Guys, I just got to say, aren't we all so grateful for Kai's Market Watch? Just keeping us all up to date, feeling confident. Kai, thanks so much for every week giving us everything we need to know about the markets.
Thanks, buddy. I get a couple things right here and there, you know, feels nice.
Yeah. I mean, even if, you know, I think the main thing is it's not about getting it right. It's just about being straight up about what's going on and looking to the numbers. Nobody's perfect. We don't have a
just
magic wand.
Yeah.
Just
not financial wise.
Not financial. Okay.
let's jump from MarketWatch into the news. We got Magic Eden. We got Rari Token. We got Solana Token extensions. We're going to talk about some scams that we want to make sure you guys avoid. Forbes is making noise. We got some reports that came out that we want to update you guys on and so much more. But let's start with the big news of the week, which is Magic Eden. So on Magic Eden's side, three things happened this week. First, on Monday, Magic Eden announced Non-Fungible DAO, which is a decentralized org, is going to drive the adoption of NFT protocols using Magic Eden's smart contracts, and then will eventually airdrop the NFT token. Amazing that I'm actually shocked that nobody had grabbed NFT
token name.
Can't believe that was available. So that happened on Monday. Then a few hours later, also on Monday, Magic Eden dropped a teaser video. It was about a minute long that teased their cross-chain support of Bitcoin, ETH, Polygon, and Solana, and also teased their upcoming wallet, which we'll talk about in a second. And then the next day, Magic Eden dropped an announcement of their revamped rewards program, which really gave us more context around Non-Fungible DAO and the NFT token and how you can set yourself up for this upcoming airdrop. So let me dive into each one of these things so you guys understand them. First up, Non-Fungible DAO. Here's the TLDR on Non-Fungible DAO. So basically, Magic Eden has decided that they are going to open source their smart contracts across the four chains that I mentioned before, Solana, Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Polygon. And they want to transition control of these smart contracts protocols to Non-Fungible DAO. Huge move for Magic Eden. We always talk about how the way you start a business in Web3 is you start centralized because you need to make quick decisions, you need to build a team, and then eventually you decentralize because you want to move power over to the people. You want the community involved in governance, you want the community involved in decision making, and Magic Eden is finally ready to make that move. Now, this DAO will be governed by holders of the NFT token. That's not live yet. We're going to talk about that in a second. And the majority of the NFT token supply will be allocated to the community, which is earned, you guessed it, by using the protocols owned by Non-Fungible DAO. In other words, if you use Magic Eden, either in the past or now, you will very likely get airdropped the NFT token.
I've never used Magic Eden, unfortunately.
Neither have I.
Damn it.
Damn. Okay, so that's the TLDR on Non-Fungible DAO. Then after this, what happened was Magic Eden released a teaser video about a minute long talking about the upcoming multi-chain capabilities and partnerships that they have. It's a fun video. You guys can go check it out. But there's a few things that stand out that I want to show you guys in this video. First is they have a screen in the video where they show multiple prominent NFT projects on different chains side by side. So you've got Ethereum, Solana, and Bitcoin projects from those three all side by side within the same marketplace. That does not currently exist anywhere. There is no marketplace. Currently, Solana supports all of these chains, but it's on a different platform, basically. Like if you go to, sorry, not Solana, currently Magic Eden supports all these. Like if you go to Magic Eden, you can buy Ethereum NFTs and you can buy Solana NFTs and you can buy Polygon NFTs, but you have to switch between the platforms.
The UX is fragmented. OpenSea is the same.
You got to jump. Right? So what they're teasing, Magic Eden is teasing that this will come under one platform. And this would be huge. The other thing they tease in this video is the Magic Eden wallet, which was announced a few months ago. It's still in beta and in waitlist mode. You can go to Magic Eden, you can sign up for the waitlist for their wallet. And what they're showing there as well is this might be a multi-chain wallet where if they can figure out a way that you can buy or sell an NFT on a different chain using a currency from another chain seamlessly, this is huge because right now, NFTs are very fragmented right now. You have Ethereum-based NFT communities, you have Solana-based, you have Bitcoin-based with ordinals growing, and you also have some Polygon stuff as well. And so
what happens is a lot of NFT users, they don't buy across chain. They just keep buying NFTs within one chain because they figured out the wallet on that chain. They've set it up. They understand what marketplace to buy on. They haven't figured out how to go do, a lot of people don't even know how to buy a Bitcoin ordinal and they don't even know how to interact with that. So Magic Eden wants to simplify that and make it a better user experience. So that was the teaser video. Then 24 hours after that, Magic Eden announced their revamped rewards program. Let me give you the TLDR on this. The new rewards program, it will be cross-chain, no surprise there, and it's going to start with Solana first on February 2nd. The rewards will be retroactive, so if you have historical activity on Magic Eden, you will get rewards. They're also giving rewards to... Magic Eden had a previous rewards program. It just didn't go so well. So this isn't a new rewards program. They're sort of revamping it. Their previous rewards program involved an NFT collection called Magic Tickets and Magic DAO. They're giving extra points, it seems, to people who participated in that. As a result of this, the Magic Tickets NFT collection has like jumped like 40% or something like that in this past week. But basically, if you use Magic Eden, you will get more diamonds. The assumption is that diamonds will convert into more NFT tokens at some point in the future.
You know, it's funny, they had a rewards program, but the rewards program didn't ever say that they were going to get tokens. You're never going to get an airdrop from it. So no one gave a shit about it. It was like, you were going to get NFTs, whatever. And I was like, who cares? And then what happened was, well, go to Tensor, go to the next one. Tensor, though, which is sort of the competitor of Magic Eden, was like, hey, we are going to do a rewards program, but you're going to get a token. And so what happened? Well, you can look up on screen here, as Jay has, and the market share, which was 100% Magic Eden almost back in, well, January 2023, 99% Magic Eden, 1% Tensor. Today, as Tensor has a program with points for an airdrop, Tensor is 88%, Magic Eden is 12. Now, a lot of that is wash trading, so most of that is not actual real value trading. It's just wash trading, which is super easy to do on Solana and super cheap, right? It costs you 0.00001 of a penny to make a transaction. Remember on Ethereum, we had a lot of wash trading, but it was like $40 every time you transferred it out as a wash trading. So that was like tougher. And that was even like 80% or something of all volumes was fake. I think on Solana, it's going to be 99% because it's just so cheap that it costs you nothing to do wash trading. So they have no way of stopping that, which is like, part of it is good that it's so cheap, but part of it is like, shit, how are you going to figure that out? So anyway, it's weird. But now that Magic Eden's actually launching token, probably people get interested again and that volumes go the other opposite way, I would bet. That's the world we live in, but is what it is.
The big take I have here is really impressed with Magic Eden, always been impressed with their team, very excited for what they're building. If we step back and look at the broader NFT ecosystem, there is going to be a lot of airdrop liquidity coming into NFT holders in the next 3 months, basically. Like, we don't have exact dates, but look at what's coming up, Kai. So we have Tensor, which we just talked about, which is the platform on Solana that's taken over Magic Eden. Their airdrop is coming up. They've said it's in Q1 of 2024. Maybe it's even Q2, but it's sometime in the first half. We have Frame, which is the new NFT protocol that isn't even live yet, that is focused on royalties and being the protocol for creators. And I think you have one more week to claim. If you have ever traded on any Ethereum chains, you can claim and set yourself up for that airdrop. So you haven't done that, you might want to go do that. And then we have Blur/Blast in there in season 3. And that's supposed to come out in, I think, Q2. And then now we have Magic Eden's NFT token. So we got a lot of capital that's coming into the ecosystem.
And then OpenSea's token? Just kidding. One day, maybe. One day.
Okay. Well, very exciting. Let's jump to talking about marketplaces. Another marketplace that we love, Rarible, has launched Rari Chain. Kai, I'm not sure how you say it.
I'm going Rari just because it sounds, I think, a little bit cooler than Rari. But this is cool. So Rari, whatever you want to call it, is an L3, believe it or not. Basically, it's using Arbitrum's, we talk about the OP stack all the time. This is Arbitrum's stack. And so you could think of it as like another roll up, like an L2. The difference is that the way that they've created this is that royalties are enforced across the entire ecosystem. So if you use Rarible, which will obviously exist on this, or anything else that's built on it, royalties are enforced at the protocol level, which can't exist on Ethereum L1, can't exist on Solana L1, can exist on an L2 like this, which is really cool, or L3, whatever you want to call this. So really cool. I mean, Rarible has always said that they're going to do everything they can to support royalties in their own like aggregate NFT marketplace. They only use ones that have royalties, and now they have an ecosystem that they can build where it can enforce royalties, which is really, really cool. So excited about that. Where that goes, not sure. I also think it's either super cheap or zero gas. I'm not sure exactly how they've set it up.
I think it's even near zero. It's not
near zero. Okay, yeah. So super cheap one. But good to see Arbitrum finally get someone come on board with their stack, because we haven't really announced much going on with them. It's mainly OP stack and Polygon. But now Arbitrum getting in on the mix with Rarible and RareChain. Yeah, so not much here, but this is just Alex, who's the founder of Rarible, just saying scalable infrastructure. So L2s have allowed new use cases, which give us the ability to create L2s or L3s that can support royalties. And that's what's going to allow us to onboard, you know, the next 100 million people into Web3, which is basically cheap fees. And then having the flexibility to create things like royalty enforcement at the protocol level, which we were all scared of. And we're like, shit, it's not going to happen. Well, now we can have it back. So that's really cool.
Love to see it. Let's go to Solana token extensions. Kai, I know you are really fired up about this being a massive announcement.
Yeah, so token extensions are a really cool thing. This is something that Solana announced yesterday. It's something they've been working on for a while. I think it was once called like Token 20 or Token 21 or something. Anyway, they've renamed it to Token Extensions, which I think is a great idea. So a lot of these already exist on Ethereum. But what Solana has done is, one, finally introduced them on Solana, because Solana is a little bit behind in a lot of the development that Ethereum already has. But they've introduced this in such a simple way for developers to use. So some of the things that token extensions can do is basically just adding more functionality to a token. So if you think of like soulbound NFTs that we have in the Ethereum ecosystem, that's now something you can do. Now, in the Solana world, you could do this, but it would take you, you know, maybe days to actually put that into the code and make that happen. It's a bit cumbersome. There's potential for bugs, et cetera. This is now almost like a plugin for a token. You could think of it that way. So it takes like 20 minutes rather than a couple of days to write this, and it's already, the code is validated and it's there. So soulbound NFTs is one. You can also do soulbound that could eventually be burned. So one of the problems with soulbound NFTs is once you send it, it's stuck there forever and you can't burn it, you can't get rid of it. If you want to like remove someone's credentials for, I don't know, maybe they did something like they got removed from the bar and then you couldn't remove their credential, well, that could be a problem. This is something that you can enable that too. Other extensions like yield-bearing tokens. So when real-world assets come on and you have like treasuries, for example, that are the collateral asset for a stablecoin, now you can just click a button and boom, now you have yield-bearing for your stablecoin, which is super cool. One of the biggest ones for this, I think is really, really huge, is, what is the name of it? Confidential transfers. Think of this from a business use case. This is massive. So there's a lot of businesses that want to use blockchain, but can't. They can't for a few reasons. One, they can't get KYC. And so token extensions can allow tokens to exist and work only with certain accounts that have been KYC'd, which is really, really good for like financial institutions, et cetera. But think about this one that everyone can use. So our company right now pays our employees, some of them, in tokens, whether it's USDC, USDT, whatever. But the problem is, if you knew their wallet address, you knew our wallet address, you could see how much we're paying our employees every single month. That's not a scalable thing. No big company's ever going to do that. Even though most companies now have employees that are across jurisdictions, across borders. So it is tricky and expensive to send money across, and there's a delay, et cetera, to go cross-border payments. Well, obviously blockchain fixes that, except for the fact that it's transparent and open, which you don't really want. If we could all see how much everyone in Apple's making, well, that kind of sucks. What this does is, using ZK proofs, so zero knowledge proofs that they now exist on Solana, you can verify that the transaction has happened, but the amount itself is private. So you actually can't see that now publicly on like SolScan or whatever. It doesn't show the amount anymore using ZK proofs. So you can verify that the transaction happened, but you can't see how much it was. So this really enables access to businesses to start use this in their business and not have all the like privacy issues. There's so many more other extensions that are possible here with this. And so like this just unlocks so many use cases to tokens. Now, again, Ethereum does have a lot of these. Like, there is zero knowledge proofs and a lot of these things do already exist. They're just not like packaged into one thing. So it's a little bit more difficult. So Solana's done a really good job on that. The other thing that Solana did a really good job on is, if you have not yet checked it out yet, go to Solana, I think it's the Solana Labs Twitter. They have a video they put out on token extensions. And what's really cool here, and we have it up on the screen, is, so this is the Solana Labs team that is basically doing a 10-minute video explaining exactly what token extensions is. It explains it in a very simple, inviting way. They have great like marketing, great branding. And it walks through all the like potential use cases of these extensions and why it makes your lives easier. So if you're a developer, if you're a business and you watch this, even if you're not really into the blockchain world, you can watch this video and go, oh, this sounds fantastic. Like, I don't even know what blockchain is, but this sounds like it could benefit my business. This is what this industry needs. The Ethereum Foundation, when's the last time they've done a video on like, here's what EIP 1559 is? Never. Here's what EIP 4844 is? Never. No blockchain does this. And it's a big problem. Most people in the world have no freaking clue what any of these upgrades are and any of these extensions are. And so like, we speak to a very small audience. And then what Ethereum and these others do is they rely on people like us who have podcasts to explain what these EIPs are to normal people, right? Whereas what Solana is doing is going, hey, no, we're just going to be the voice. We're going to create the good marketing material and we're going to push this out so that anyone might see this on Twitter or YouTube or whatever and all of a sudden go, oh, wow, what an amazing use case for my business because I pay cross-border payments. And they just get it. So this is something I think Solana is probably doubling down on. They know they need to make this simple for businesses to understand. They're doing a really, really good job here. So very bullish, one on Solana tech and then two on Solana marketing. I absolutely love what they're doing there.
Let's go from the exciting times in Solana to the not so exciting times and the scams of just a bunch of scams happening this week that you got to be careful about. So we want to update you guys on all of these. First up, it all sort of started with Trezor about a week ago, actually. Kai, what happened here?
Yeah, so Trezor had an hack or an exploit, whatever you want to call it. It wasn't too, like everyone's funds are safe, so don't worry there. But basically, and this has happened more than once with Trezor, to be honest. Someone's hacked into one of their third-party ticketing portals or whatever, and they were able to access a bunch of emails from Trezor. So they know that all they have is, like, I think, maybe names and emails. They don't have wallet addresses and stuff tied to it. But what they do have is they know that this email is associated with someone who uses crypto and has a crypto wallet. So what can you do with that? You can start to send phishing emails, pretend that you are Trezor, or pretend that you are other companies, send to those emails, say, connect your wallet for whatever upgrade or whatever airdrop. And you're hitting your target audience and boom, they connect their wallet and you get drained. And so just in the last like week or so, Zach XBT put out, said there's been phishing emails from Cointelegraph, from Wallet Connect, from Token Terminal, from DeFi, D.Fi. And so there's just been a bunch of phishing emails. And then just, was it yesterday? A bunch of phishing emails actually came out from Trezor. So people are actually acting on this. And so be very, very careful about what's going on out there. When you get emails, if it seems too good to be true, they're not even giving airdrops usually. It's usually like upgrade to make sure your funds are safe or whatever. You got to be very, very careful. Rarely do you have to connect your wallet for these things. So don't actually connect wallet. You don't need to connect wallet for a lot of things, but they just make you do it. Just be very, very careful about the emails that are in there. And then also be careful about what you see on Twitter. Just a couple days ago, Rocket Pool, who we love and we use to stake our ETH, well, at least many of us do. All of a sudden I was on Twitter. And I think I was on a call or something, I can't remember, but I just saw this tweet come out from Rocket Pool's main account, who I follow and trust. And it was like, we've had an exploit go back to mine. It's been deleted now. So go back to the first one, but it came out and it was just like, we've had an exploit to keep your funds safe, connect your wallet here and like move your funds off of Rocket Pool. And I was like, wait, what? Like I have a lot of money in Rocket Pool. And so I was looking at it and I was like, this seems kind of weird. I don't know. And I was one of the first people to see it. Like it was like, had just been tweeted. And I was like, And so I retweeted. I was like, is this for real? Or like, what is this? And then a bunch of people started asking it. We realized, okay, the URL was shady. It was not a real URL. What they were doing was the Rocket Pool Twitter got hacked. They were telling people that there was an exploit, even though there wasn't, and asking people to remove their funds, which once you connect your wallet, you were drained. So then once we all realized it, everyone was warning everyone on Twitter, they deleted those tweets. Then they came out and said, those of you that were just affected in the exploit, you can claim your refunds below. And we're also inviting everyone to claim free RPL token as an apology for what just happened. And so again, it's like the spammers are doing an additional spam here. But they're like, hey, we're sorry that we just spammed you. And so now we're going to reward you. And again, of course, if you connect your wallet, you get drained. So don't do that. So just be very, very vigilant. It's a tough world out there. Scary, scary, scary times.
Yeah, these hackers are getting way too sophisticated, eh? Like, I don't like taking over a Twitter, putting out trying immediately to scam people, and then being like, we got the Twitter back, everybody, don't worry. Okay, now here's what you can do next to make sure you're safe, but it's still the hackers. Like, it is so hard. I mean, this is, I think, one of the most important reasons that you need to be part of a community in crypto Web3, because if you're in our Discord or you're in another Discord around people you can trust, that's who you ask, right? And I know in our Discord constantly all day, there's people being like, hey, is this link real? Is anybody else seeing this? And Twitter is obviously great for that too. But Twitter, you got to be careful because as you can see with Rocket Pool, people can get exploited and somebody can take over somebody else's account.
Just don't sign transactions blindly. Make sure you know what you're doing. If you don't know, ask.
Okay, this isn't a scam or anything like that. I want to be clear as we start this story, but there has been some drama around staking ETH on Coinbase and Geth or Geth. I can never remember how you say it. Kai, tell us about this story.
Yeah, so this has been a problem for a while. It's not just with Coinbase, but this was just the one that's been highlighted the most recently. We've talked a lot about validator clients for blockchains. Ethereum has 7 of them, different validator clients, which is great because if one has a bug, you can resort to another one, and there's already other clients that are running these. So like the chain never goes down. Solana only has 1, but FireDancer, we've talked about, is the second one coming, which is really big for decentralization. Now, the problem in Ethereum is although there are 7, Geth is like 80% of all the validator clients. So 84%, sorry. So if something happened to Geth, Ethereum would be completely screwed, basically. And so the issue is some of the biggest protocols that hold the most amount of ETH are running 100% Geth. Coinbase, for example, with their Coinbase staking, where you get CB ETH, there's millions and I think maybe even billions of ETH that is held in their contracts. They are all being run on Geth, all. So if there's one bug in Geth, all of the assets that are on Coinbase would be screwed, okay? That is a massive problem. Because if that happens, the then effects that go on to everything else would just be catastrophic. So it's a big problem. And so DC Investor had enough of it. He's a big Ethereum guy. And he came out and said, today I unstaked all the ETH I had staked with you. He said at Coinbase. Today I unstaked all the ETH I had staked with you since the first day you offered as a service. I kept it there to earn passive yield, but also to support your work for the crypto industry, which I greatly value. But I can't ignore the risks of what appears to be a single client staking setup, reliant on Geth at this time. If I've misinterpreted your architecture, please use this post an opportunity to clarify it. This got a lot of retweets and became a big deal of almost 400,000 views. And he tagged Brian Armstrong and the Coinbase team. And then what happened was someone from the Coinbase team actually responded and said, hi, I'm a protocol specialist here. I've been pushing for this. We are actively pursuing it. And then Brian Armstrong, the CEO and founder of Coinbase, actually chimed in too. And he said, hey, we're taking a look at it. So one, just good to see that it's like the community that's sort of pushing decentralization and risk management to some of the biggest protocols. Lido, another massive one of the biggest in their space, also is only Geth. And so this is a big problem. And we need to start pushing these companies to fix this and to, I mean, look, there's a little bit more resources, a little bit more cost to go and like get another client validator set up. But like, in the long run, it's way, way, way worth it. And so we got to push them by removing our money and putting our money where our mouth is. And that's what DC Investor did. And it appears to be working. So really, really cool. There's a bunch of protocols that have come out since saying, hey, we're going to make these adjustments too. We've got these limits on Geth, et cetera. So really nice to see the community come together and hopefully make some changes to fix this.
The thing I find so amazing about this is let's step back for a second and compare the way a Web2 company would handle and manage an issue, not necessarily this issue, but like any issue versus the way a Web3 company does. In this case, you have a Web3 company, a founder and a specialist on that team who are immediately interacting with the community on Twitter in live time. That is not typical PR management, customer relations management from a Web2 company. There is a big difference in the ethos that we are creating here in the way that founders and employees and people participating in building products think about how you interact with a customer that is very different from the old model. And I think that gets lost a little bit in the day-to-day of just you start to expect that almost, but you can't underscore how much of a difference that makes to the way that these products are being built and the way that us as consumers get to directly speak to founders and deal with issues in live time.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't think that lasts as this industry gets bigger. I think the other reason that this happens is the cool thing about Web3 and about having a token is we're all incentivized for this token to do well. If Ethereum went down, then Coinbase would be out of business and all of us would lose a lot of money and we would all be basically fucked, right? And so the last thing all of us want is for something bad to happen to Ethereum. And so when we sit there and go, hey, this is a problem. If we did that with Apple, they don't really care, right? Apple's got bigger fish to fry. It doesn't really matter to them. Our incentives are not aligned. But we hold ETH. Brian Armstrong probably holds a bunch of ETH. Coinbase holds a shit ton of ETH, and a lot of their services revolve around ETH. And so we all are incentivized to make sure that ETH is risk minimized, right? And so when we bring up a problem like this, they are also incentivized to fix this problem. So they're incentivized to listen to us because we're like, hey, we are scared of this and you should be too. And they're like, yeah, you know what? That's a good point. If this thing ever happened, something bad happened, then this would be a big problem. So it's really nice. Tokens, that's one thing that's really big about tokens is it like it really aligns incentives between the users and the companies themselves, which I think is something you just don't really get in the Web2 world.
All right, let's go to the next story. Forbes has announced that they are making their premium content free for those who connect a wallet in their new Web3 beta program. This is the first time we've ever really seen this, and a great marketing campaign by Forbes, who is clearly trying to be a leader on the crypto community and building more content for them and us, and also on getting a database of wallets. They clearly see the long-term value to having wallet addresses. So what you can do right now, and it's really, if you go to Forbes' website, up in the banner, there is literally a tab that says Web3 community in beta. And when you first land on the site, it actually like directs your attention to it by highlighting it in a color. So they're putting a lot of effort and attention towards this. And when you go to the site, what you can do is you can not connect your wallet, you can actually set up a wallet. So Forbes actually has an embedded wallet on their site right now. They've worked with Magic to set this up. You set up an embedded wallet and you get Forbes premium content free for 1 year. So incredible to see Forbes. What they talked about in their announcement that it really stood out to me about this is that they are focused on the long-term possibility of creating media, like co-creation of media alongside their users, involvement of their users in the narratives that they are pushing and creating. So you can see they're not just thinking about this as a, hey, let's give out some free subscriptions in order to get a bunch of new users, which obviously is a benefit to them. They're also thinking about this long-term about, okay, how do we actually use blockchain tech to improve our service, to involve our community more in the content we are creating? And I think you're going to start to see the future of on-chain media is something we haven't really seen much yet, other than, you know, we see a little bit of it.
Other than us.
Lens and Farcaster. Yeah, but and us. But we haven't really, there's not enough stuff being on media that's happening on-chain yet, because there's just not enough people there. But here's a Web2, major Web2 media brand that's taking the leap and being a leader in the space.
When Forbes token, they got the wallets.
How do you hear?
Waitlist.
That's right. It's how do you set yourself up for that airdrop? Probably get this embedded wallet. Keep it that Forbes has an embedded wallet. Everybody's going to have an embedded wallet soon. Okay, next up, I want to give you guys a couple of interesting reports came out this week on the state of crypto. And I want to just give you guys some high-level numbers. We're not going to dive too deep into them. We'll link to these reports in the show notes if you want to check them out. First, a report came out from crypto.com. They do an annual report where they just look at the entire industry. And they're really set up well to do this report because they can collect data from not just wallets, but collect data from all exchanges and bring it all together in one report. And the main number that they came out with is that they believe that total crypto ownership worldwide is now at 580 million people. Now, I haven't looked into the methodology behind this report to understand, is that truly 580 million unique people, or is that duplicate wallets and maybe it's less unique people? But 580 million people, holy shit, if that is the real number, that's incredible.
I mean, they have a pretty sophisticated formula. I looked through it, and so they have, it's like 20 different exchanges. Coinbase is not included in it, which is weird because it's the second biggest of them all. Binance is, which is the biggest, but basically all the others. I don't know why Coinbase is not in this. And then they do look on chain as well, but they tie it to funds that have been sent from an exchange. So they're taking out all of the like duplicate ones that are on chain and focusing just around ones that came from KYC'd for the most part. And then there's, I'm not sure how they're doing this with like ETFs and stuff, if they're including those as well. Anyway, 580 is pretty impressive. I remember when they first put out their report back in like 2020 or 2021, it was around 300 million. And so it's a little bit wild to see it grow so much during the bear market. I mean, like it was at 432 million in January 2023, and now we're at 580 in December 2023. So in 1 year, we went up 140 million. Seems a bit wild to me. I'm not sure that I fully believe their numbers, but like, I think the thing that we miss being in Canada and in the Western world is I do think there is a lot of adoption in the developing world. Whether that's, I mean, in Asia, it's just getting mass adoption right now. I think in like Latin America, especially in places like Argentina, where their currencies are inflating, many of them are getting involved in crypto. Africa is becoming really, really big. And the reason this wouldn't really impact price so much, even though price has gone up over the last year, is it's small amounts, right? So it's people in developing worlds that have a ton of money, but enough that they want to keep it on a digital ledger rather than in their own currencies. So I'm assuming that's where it is. I wish they had this by demographic and they don't. I looked through the report. So we can't see like which countries are getting this adoption, because I find it hard to believe that we'd be getting tens of millions of new people in the US, for example, during this past year, 2 years. So that's just my guess of where it's coming from. But anyway, we'll see if it's true. That's a lot of people. If it is, 500 almost 600 million. Damn.
It's never going to be perfect, but I think it's directional, which is incredible to see. We grew during the bear market. And as you said, Kai, that came from a lot of users buying a small amount, right? Yeah. And that is—
And remember, this is not on chain. This is not people using on chain. That is still a very, very small number. This is people who just have bought a little bit and hold it. Some are on chain, but yeah, many are just buying it, holding on chain. That's all.
Yeah. The other cool numbers to see out of this was Bitcoin is almost at 300 million owners. Ethereum grew to 124 million owners. And each of those, Bitcoin has accounts for over 51%. So over 51% of total owners in crypto own Bitcoin. So it shows you the dominance of Bitcoin. Ethereum is 21%. So Ethereum's next up, which is also a fairly dominant number in terms of token ownership.
What's really interesting about that is when I look at Bitcoin dominance in terms of market cap, the Bitcoin dominance right now is around 51%. Where is it? I'm trying to find it right here. 52%.
Wow.
Which is insane. And then if we look at Ethereum dominance, it's 18%. So okay. Very close to the amount of owners. That's wild.
That is wild.
I mean, somewhat makes sense, but didn't think it'd be that close. So interesting.
All right. Let's go to our favorite segment. Well, maybe I'd say second favorite segment, but I love this segment. The airdrop 'em like it's hot segment, where we talk about all the airdrops. We've got four airdrops we want to keep you guys updated on this week. First up, Solana protocol Drift has announced their rewards program ahead of the token launch. What's going on here, Kai?
Yeah, so this one, when we put out that Solana airdrop report, I don't know, last month or whenever it was, we said Drift was probably going to do this. We kind of knew they were going to launch a token, and now they have a points program that will be ahead of their token launch, which is coming, I believe, in March or something like that. Feb 2nd? Okay, so actually really soon. But now they just have a points program just to so you can kind of track what you're doing. They're a perps protocol on Solana. And yeah, you can go use it. You can get some points and you'll get a token in the coming few weeks.
Sorry, the points program starts distribution on Feb 2nd. I don't think the airdrop comes until March.
I think it's 60 days or 90 days you have to use it. I think it's Q2. Anyway, next one. This one came out today. We've talked about this last week, which is AltLayer. They are airdropping for anyone who is restaking, if you have more than 720 points, for EigenLayer, and then also to Celestia stakers as well, so TIA. That became available today. If you're a staker of TIA, you may be eligible for this, but you can't claim your tokens for a little bit. They have to build that in, and so EigenLayer restakers can get this now. I claimed mine today. I just got the minimum amount, unfortunately, but it's currently trading at around 30 cents, I believe. Let me just check. 33 cents currently as we're recording. And so if you got the minimum, you made about $200-$250. And then so that's the minimum. And then anything higher than that, you're getting more, of course. So not a big one by any means, but still fun. $250 is always nice.
Free money is free money. It's great.
It's free money. Exactly. And then the last airdrop to talk about today is Rabi Wallet. This is a wallet that comes from DBank and very similar to what Rainbow Wallet did about a month or so ago, where they have a points program if you use their wallet. If you ever used MetaMask and you've done swaps in MetaMask, you get more points. And then if you do things inside of the Rabi wallet, you gain additional points. So almost identical to what Rainbow's doing. Everyone's sort of vampire attacking MetaMask right now, which honestly I think is a good thing because MetaMask sucks. It's so frustrating to use it all the time. Like I'll go to connect a wallet and it's like, okay, choose the one you want. And so I have Coinbase wallet, I have a bunch of others, but I have MetaMask and I'll click it. And so often it doesn't read that I actually have a MetaMask wallet. And so it takes me to the install a MetaMask wallet page instead of connecting my wallet. And I'm like, God, can you guys just fit? Like, it's so bad. And then if you do it mobile, MetaMask is so terrible. Anyway, but the reason everyone uses it is because it's integrated into every single app. It's just the one that everyone has. So I want people to start using Rainbow and Rabby and all Coinbase Wallet and all these others, because then apps will go, oh, there's a lot of people using these other ones. We need to make sure we put time and resources into integrating all the other apps, not just MetaMask, because I don't know how MetaMask is not innovated yet. It's crazy. Anyway, one other announcement to come out here is regarding restaking. So we've talked a ton about this. We've been telling everyone to go restake, and there's been a cap on it. And so if you didn't get in about a month ago, you're not able to. They've sort of capped it at that sort of $1 billion TVL. We're supposed to be opening this up next week. However, there's a bit of a delay. And so they are taking a delay of 1 week. So it was February 2nd. I think now it's like February 9th, because they're going to add in some additional security parameters here. So what they're doing is they're launching 3 additional liquid staking tokens to this that you can now go and restake. That is the Frax ETH token, METH, which I believe is Mantles. And then, I don't know, LS ETH. I don't know what that one is. So those will now be available. They'll remove the limit. So before there was like an individual cap of only 200K per LST. That's getting removed. And then in a commitment to sort of like decentralization, they're doing something different here where basically you will get let if there's too much of the staking, restaking being done in one protocol. So let's say it's an RETH or STETH or whatever, you will no longer be able to get points if you continue to add more of that specific token to be restaked. So what this does is it forces people to go and get other liquid staking tokens and restake those instead. So that way Lido, for example, doesn't become like 100% of the restaking. This sort of distributes it. Similar to the idea of like what we talked about with Geth and having more validator clients, this is a way to like sort of decentralize the capital that is being restaked. And puts a lot less risk on the system. So what they realized when they launched was, oh, everyone's using STETH. And so we need to find a way to incentivize people to use other ones, the smaller ones. And so they've changed around their point system. That's why they're delaying, is because they thought of this. And now they need a week to sort of like reconfigure that. So February 9th, you will be able to restake natively more tokens. One, you can earn more money if you do this. You can farm the airdrop for EigenLayer. And as we just saw with AltLayer, if you restake, you're going to end up getting a bunch of other airdrops for whatever reason. That's just what the community decided to do. So it pays to be a restaker. So make sure you get in on this whenever they open up. I think it's on February 9th.
Love it. Thanks so much, Kai, for the updates on all the airdrops happening. If you need any help on any of those, make sure you check into our Discord. Ask any questions you guys have there. We want to make sure you guys take advantage, but are always doing it in a safe way. Time to move to agree, disagree, explain. All right, Kai, first
this
up.
This is my favorite section, by the way. I love this.
This is the best section. Best segment. Yeah, I agree. Okay, first up. This actually happened a week or two ago. Larry Fink went on CNBC, but we didn't talk about this on the show. And last week, we talked about Jamie Dimon, and we played a clip from him. So this week, we're going to go to our homie, Larry Fink. We're going to play this clip, and then we're going to talk about it. Roll the clip.
I see value in having an Ethereum ETF. As I said, these are just stepping stones towards tokenization. And I really do believe this is where we're going to be going. We have the technology to tokenize today. If you want to think about this. If you had a tokenized security and you have a tokenized identity, you, Andrew, the moment you buy or sell an instrument, it's known. It's on a general ledger that is all created together. You want to talk about issues around money laundering and all that. This eliminates all corruption by having a tokenized system.
Jamie Dimon disagrees with you on that, or at least to some degree.
All right, Kai, what do you think about what Larry Fink said? He said it's a bunch of things packed into that short clip there. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I disagree. I mean, I agree. I think the tokenization of everything is massive, of course, which is actually similar to what Jamie Dimon had said last week too, which is funny that the host here, who was the same host that interviewed Jamie Dimon, he was like, oh, this is completely opposite of what Jamie Dimon said. And I was like, I actually think it's quite similar. I think he's just mixing up what Jamie Dimon means from Bitcoin versus blockchain. And what Larry Fink is talking about here is blockchain, meaning like smart contract platforms, what can be done with it? Well, you can tokenize real world assets or any assets. And I think that's massive. And then you can use, like we just talked about, token extensions from Solana. You can have ways to put in privacy and to do KYC for certain tokens. And so this will actually help with money laundering. Now, Bitcoin can't do any of this because it's on smart contracts. So when Jamie Dimon says it's a pet rock, but he believes in tokenization, these two are actually saying the exact same thing. But I think that host didn't quite understand that. I mean, I fully agree. What I really like about this and him saying this is people have heard the narrative of Bitcoin being digital gold and inflation hedge, which has like people get, they can wrap their head around it. It hasn't really worked that well unless you're like looking at a really long time frame. But like when inflation is high, generally interest rates are high at that point to try to fix it. So Bitcoin is really bad. So it's actually the opposite. So that narrative in the mainstream anyway has not really played out. The other like crypto narratives that people have in the mainstream anyway, kind of like, I wouldn't say understand, but I've heard of, is like digital collectibles with NFTs that became very popular in 2021. What hasn't really become super popular, at least in the TradFi space, but in mainstream, is like just tokenizing things like stablecoins. People still don't get, it's such an obvious innovation that it's just so good for the world, but people don't get it because no one's really heard of tokenization. And that's what these guys are shilling and talking about. And I think when TradFi wraps their head around that, when the rest of the mainstream, especially the developing world, wraps their head around that, like that's going to be the thing that people go, oh, I see what blockchain's doing here. This isn't about speculating on some random new currency. No one cares about that. But people do care about these things. And so when people wrap their heads around what Larry Fink is saying, it's going to be a really big deal. And so I'm so glad that this is the narrative that these two are driving. So I'm pumped about this.
The thing I got to shout out Larry Fink for, just comparing him directly to Jamie Dimon, is it feels like Jamie Dimon is like impacted by politicians and cronies of his, you know what I mean? Larry Fink feels like the only one that like has the balls to just be like, I don't care what you guys think. I don't care about Gary Gensler. I don't care about any of you. That he's like powerful enough to be like, no, I'm going to tell you what I really believe here.
He's saying things.
And I get he has incentive. Like he says, like, obviously he believes in the ETF. Well, that's because BlackRock stands to make a ton of money off the ETF. So he wants that to pass in May. But I feel like he's the only one that's willing to go against the lobbyists, against the politicians, against the regulators, and be like, no, I'm going to tell you what I really feel. Whereas Jamie Dimon just always feels like he's, I don't know, placating to like his cronies.
BlackRock's the king. Larry decides. Yeah. Politicians do what Larry says, not the other way around.
Love it. We're going to stick with this theme. The next agree, disagree. Here it is. This came from Ki Young Ju. He said, with TradFi entering the market, the next bull run is expected to be faster and more spectacular than before.
Yeah, this one, I don't know that it's necessarily faster. The reason I'd say it's probably not faster is there's actual use cases this time around for the first time. So like, as people start to pile in money, especially TradFi, I don't think as much money leaves the ecosystem. I think money moves into like stablecoins and stuff, but I don't think as much goes into fiat. Because there's just like, there's actual reasons to like stay in the crypto world now. And just like there was more last cycle than the previous cycle and so on. But like we're finally getting to a point now. I don't know if we'll fully get there. If a bunch of TradFi just starts to dump money in right now, then yeah, we'll freaking fly to the moon and we'll just crash and then it's done with quickly. But I kind of just don't think that happens. Again, I think this cycle depends on liquidity. And so it's going to depend on how long does the liquidity cycle go for. I don't think it matters that much that TradFi is entering the market. I think it's more just what's going on with macro.
I also think the impact of TradFi entering the market is really going to happen when there's more tokenization of real world assets. And that is still slow. That is like we're still not nearly at the point where that's going to go to big numbers for so many reasons. The UX is difficult. All the products are built around this aren't really friendly yet to people outside of crypto. So I think the impacts of TradFi, I almost feel like, I don't know if they'll happen as much as we think in this cycle or if they'll more so be in the next cycle. Kai, I know you have a take on how we could potentially push to a super cycle here. So maybe we'll go to that. Okay, next agree, disagree. Koopa Troopa, he said, what if all tokens are just meme coins and value capture doesn't matter?
I would say this is very true. I mean, especially in a bull market, value capture doesn't matter at all. But I mean, there is, other than Ethereum, there's no tokens that truly capture value in crypto. And so every token in crypto is just a meme at this point. Bitcoin is the most meme of any crypto. That's all fiat is a meme. Even stocks, for Christ's sakes. I mean, I guess some of them you do get dividends. And so those are not necessarily meme. Those do have value capture. But for the most part, like any stock that doesn't give you dividends is just a meme. You don't really own much. You own a bit of the company, sure, but like once it's public, like doesn't really, it's just a spec, it's just a game, right? It's all kind of a meme. I think though in bear markets that is not as true. You see that those that have better tokenomics and more value capture do better, which is why Ethereum I think did quite well during this past bear market. So I think this is true. Though what I would say, and this is to the point that I said in my next tweet here that you're going to show, is once tokens figure out value capture, that's when I think we head into the super cycle of crypto. So what I tweeted out here was the crypto super cycle comes when profitable protocols figure out how to share value with their token holders. ETH has already done this, but when Uniswap, Maker, L2s all figure this out at scale, that's when the super cycle begins. And the reason I say that is, why would you ever hold an equity when you can have a protocol? So a piece of code that runs in automation that is making tons of revenue, pays no employees, has no board of directors, doesn't need to like have an office or any of these things, doesn't need to worry about like commercial real estate risk and blah, 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 and boards taking it over and blah, blah, blah. It's just a piece of code that runs in automation that people use, and it's doing it in a profitable way. And then those profits, it just shares to the people that hold its token and that like work on its protocol. Why would you ever leave that thing? Like when Uniswap turns on a fee share, like it's a piece of technology that just like is a must use. It is, everyone uses Uniswap, whether that's users or like companies building on top of it to have swaps happen in the background of whatever they're doing. And that thing just prints money. And when they can just share that money with the holders, Uniswap goes to trillions of dollars and there's no point in holding anything else. And so when this happens amongst Uniswap and Maker and more and more and more, I just don't know why anyone would ever not hold these tokens versus anything else. So I think whenever we figure this out, which like we're not far from it, to be fair, just they haven't done it. And it's like, so Ethereum has this, but people also don't know, is Ethereum here for forever, right? Like if Apple could do this and share X percent and they had no employees and whatever, but we all use Apple phones, we know we're going to, okay, we would all hold that thing. Ethereum, we don't know yet because it's still early days, but like in a few years from now, I think it'll be quite obvious that blockchains will exist. They won't be debating like, is this thing going to happen or not? It's just going to be there. And if it's profitable, it's printing money and it's giving it back to the holders, you're never not going to use that thing. Like the internet, if the internet had a way to give you money right now and some of it had a way to create value and share it, obviously the internet's not going anywhere. It has such strong network effects. You would never not hold that thing. So once we get there with these tokens, it's game over for the traditional world. It already is game over, but this is when it becomes the super cycle, in my opinion.
I love it. Okay, next up, we have Kofi. He said, most of you are not good traders, myself included. It's much more likely that you make life-changing money working in crypto than trading crypto.
So this comes from a thread from Punk6529. So I agree and I disagree. If you're trying to trade, then I agree. You will not make life-changing money. You will fuck it up 100%. I almost guarantee it. 99% of you will. Unless you get lucky, even if you're a professional, you're still going to fuck it up. The amount of professional traders that come into this space, I mean, look at how many went bankrupt. It wasn't retail. I mean, I'm sure a bunch of retail users went bankrupt last cycle too, but Celsius, Voyager, like the Lit3AC, these were professional traders that fucked it up, right? But if you just hold the right assets, yeah, you can definitely make life-changing money. If you just have a strategy where you're buying at the right times, like in 2022 and early 2023, and you sell at the right time, you sell some of it or you just hold it and stake it, absolutely you're going to make life-changing money. That's why we have our pro reports. Why we have an investing guide that you can check out in there with an investing course. It's not hard to make life-changing money if you are in this space when no one else is in the space, which is every single bear market, everyone leaves. You buy then and you just wait until things go crazy and then you sell. It's hard to do that because psychologically, you don't want to buy when everyone leaves and you don't want to sell when everyone's here. But if you just do that, you're all good. But if you start trading in between, you are for sure going to mess it up. And then he's makes a good point, like just go make money in crypto in terms of a job. Then you're getting paid in tokens for a company that hopefully does well, plus you're making money rather than like a lot of people are just like, oh, I'm going to quit my job and just like, I don't know, hopefully trade my way through the cycle. It's just not going to happen. So I kind of agree, kind of disagree.
Yeah, I totally agree with your first take that don't try to trade. Trading is very, very difficult. And it's also just an emotional fuck fest on your life. So don't even bother. Like you're going to kill yourself on stress, let alone the money that you're going to lose. Make your investment portfolio very simple. Go take our Web3 Investment Masterclass. We'll put a link in the show notes. Go take that. It'll teach you everything you need to know and keep your strategy simple. On the like working in crypto, yeah, I think I have two takes on this. One is that I agree that there's massive opportunity. We're so early, but I also, working in crypto isn't for everybody. It's also a very volatile space. There's going to be big ups and big downs. There's going to be layoffs. There's going to be huge hiring periods. So I also like, I don't know that that's for everybody either. It's not the most stable industry to work in right now. So I don't know that it guarantees that you're going to make life-changing money by working in crypto.
Definitely doesn't guarantee it, but you're not making life-changing money just doing some random 9-to-5 in an existing industry that's been around for, like, if you work in, I don't know, at the bank or the government or whatever, and you just like do your typical 9-to-5 job, you're not making life-changing money. So this is your chance, but not everyone gets it. That's for sure.
True that. All right. Well, that's a wrap on another episode of Web3 Academy. Thanks so much for listening in, everybody. As Kai said at the beginning of the show, we got a poll question as we do every week. We want to know, what do you guys want to hear us talk more about? You want to hear more about the tech stuff? You want to hear more about investing stuff? Do you want to hear more about NFTs? Do you want to hear more about business use cases? So whatever, wherever you're listening to us, make sure you let us know. Comment on YouTube, hit the poll in Spotify. Otherwise, give us a like, give us a follow, hit us up with a review. These things really help us grow, help more people get on chain in a safe way, which just benefits the whole ecosystem. Kai, thanks for being an awesome co-host as always. Have yourselves a great weekend, everybody. We're out.
Thank you for listening to Web3 Academy, your one trusted source to capitalize on the next big phase of the internet. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it and subscribe or follow so that you don't miss the next one. While you're at it, there's a link in the description for our free newsletter where we provide timely and relevant Web3 insights so you can confidently build and invest in Web3. Make sure to subscribe today. One final note. This podcast is for educational purposes only, and nothing we say is financial advice. Crypto and Web3 are risky, and you should never invest more than you're willing to lose. Thank you, friends, and see you in the next one.